Open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, going through verses 5 through 9 tonight. Looking at servants and masters, or what we would say today, really, employees and employers, is what we're going to be looking at today, the work situation. You know, I guess I've never seen the continuity and the way this all melded together in these different sections any more than until this week, where it finally hit me more than ever. We've been going through the end of chapter 5 and now the first of chapter 6 on all these different areas where we're to conduct ourselves as believers. And remember, we started out in chapter 5 with the wives and how they're to react and respond to their husbands. Then we went to husbands and how they're to respond and react to their wives. And then we went to the children last week. Remember how they're to react and respond to their moms and dads. And now this week we go to the workplace. Every practical area of life God covers. That is employer, employee. But what I find, the common thread, guys, going through all of these, if you think back over the last few weeks, and if you read back through it, you're going to find there's one common thread, and that is in every single one of these positions, they everyone are to be done as to the Lord. There's not one that's to be done. It doesn't say wives, you know, serve your husbands or submit to your husbands as to your husband. It says, as to the Lord. It doesn't say, husbands, love your wives as to your wife. It says, no, love your wives for the Lord's sake, as Christ loved the church. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents because your parents should be obeyed, but simply for the Lord's sake. As to the Lord, obey your parents. And tonight, again, employees, employers, workplace. Serving the Lord, again, as to the Lord. And guys, this, I believe, is the key to this. There seems to be a huge struggle in us being able to oftentimes operate in the roles that God calls us to as believers. And I believe it's a lack of understanding and a heartfelt understanding of really what we're doing. No matter who you're dealing with in your life, no matter what area of life you're dealing in, if you don't understand that it's not ultimately the Lord you're dealing with, you're going to have struggles. But I can promise you this, if you understand that it's the Lord you're dealing with, the struggles begin to fade away. Because when it's all for Jesus, it doesn't matter who has the face on. They're just a face in a crowd that God has you in a certain place. It's all about Him. And that's what tonight's about. So as we get into servants and masters, we would call it today bosses and employees. I really thought before we get there, we've got to kind of lay some basic groundwork, because to make the servant-employee relationship really successful in our heart first, we've got to understand God's setup for His authority structure in the world. Now, we're not going to cover all the things we've covered in authority structure, just a few basic things before we get into it tonight. We're going to look first of all at who gives us our authorities. And secondly, the blessing of understanding authority. And let me just say this, guys. If you've struggled your whole life with bosses, parents, authorities, no matter who they are, be police, whatever it might be, if you've struggled your whole life, it all comes back to this one thing. That is if you've known Christ. That is, it all boils down to, are we doing it unto the Lord? Do we understand that it's God that we're truly under and serving? Or do we think it's these people that are around us? Because the struggle seems to come in when we look to people. But it goes much higher than people. It goes to the Lord. So we're going to see the blessing of understanding authority. And then we're going to see how we respond to our authorities. And that's going to start when we get back in Ephesians chapter 5. So, you know, it's interesting, guys, that so many people today are miserable because they don't really understand how God has the authority structure in place. Now, again, this all applies to the workplace, or for the most part tonight does. But there's no reason for that misery, that misunderstanding. Once we understand what the Scripture says, it's a matter of making that heart change and applying it. And I believe that your life is either going to be blessed and successful, or cursed and unsuccessful due to your understanding of biblical authority. And I know that's a very bold statement, but I believe it with all my heart, and I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Everything boils down to authority. Think about your life. In every area of your life, you've got authorities all around you. Wives, it's your husband. Kids, it's mom and dad. Employees, it's your employer. All of us, it's the police driving up and down the street. It's the judges. It's our president. It's our congressman. Every aspect, every area of our life has to do with authorities. And if we have a problem with authority, if we have an issue with authority, our whole life is going to have a problem. Bottom line, if we deal with that and do it as unto the Lord, the problems fade away. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have problems from time to time, but this is just so important. The more I looked at this subject in Scripture, the more important God really burns it in my heart how important this is. Because, guys, God uses all the authorities around us. Note this, good and bad. He uses those authorities to mold and shape our lives. Maybe you have a characteristic that God wants to change, and the only way God can change that characteristic is to give you a horrible, mean, harsh boss. There's no other way you deal with it. There's no other way it could be changed. It absolutely is in stone. And unless God brings you someone who's going to mistreat you, you'll never deal with it. So God gives you a boss that's harsh, A boss that's mean, a boss that's unruly. And the whole time, we have two choices. We either complain and say, get me out of here. Or we say, Lord, what's going on? And I'm going to do this as unto you. And God, change my life and mold in me what you want me to mold. Now, I don't think that means that if we're in certain jobs that we're locked into them forever. I think we need to seek the Lord. It may be that we're in the wrong place. And I know that's where my flesh would want to go immediately. So, oh, I know what it is. I'm in the wrong place, so I get out of here. But now what you're going to find out is if God is dealing in an area in your life that only a harsh boss can deal with, your next job, guess who's going to be your boss? That's right, somebody harsh. Because God will continue to move you to the type of person you need to be with to chisel away at you what he wants you to have. See, God sees a rock with a diamond on the inside when he looks at you. And he's got to bang that rock and chisel it away until he gets to the diamond. He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. Sometimes he does it through very gentle and loving means. Sometimes he does it through very harsh and loving means. Love in both, but sometimes a different approach. I get tickled at these guys I see that have oftentimes a real hard time with authority. And they're real rebellious. And I think I'll join the military. They have no idea how God just set them up. Because what's happening is God loves them so much. He sees they have a problem with authority. He sees they have a problem, you know, following orders. He puts them in a place where they better or they're going to end up hanging upside down probably by their underwear from some flagpole. Now, I don't mean to be crude. Please, you know, and again, I don't want to speak. I'm not saying they do that in military. My point is, guys, listen, you don't do that in the military and get away with it. I mean, they will abuse you until you learn to be submissive and under authority. And that's why that drill sergeant's right in your face. God knows what he's doing. And he does it however he has to make it happen. Now, first of all, then, the first phase I want to look at tonight, guys, before we get into this, and I want to move quickly, but not so quickly that you don't understand me. I talk too fast. But we need a basic understanding of authorities in our life before we can get to really, I believe, verses 5 through 9. And that is, let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Flip to your right. I'm sorry, flip to your left. I tricked you. I'm used to being in the Gospels. Flip to your left. You come back to Romans and go to Romans chapter 13. Because, guys, the first thing we've got to look at is authorities. Whose idea was it? Who put them in place? How do they operate? Romans 13 tells us that. Now, Romans 13 chapter, or rather verse 1, listen what it says. It says, let every soul, how many souls? Every soul, that means all of us in this room, be subject to the governing authorities. Guys, governing authorities is anybody in a position of power or authority. Doesn't matter who they are, what position of authority that is. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Note this next line. For there is no authority except from God. If you like to circle words, and I don't encourage that often, it's usually underlined, but the word no there would be a good one. If you did circle one in your Bible. There is no authority except from who? God. Now, stop a minute. You mean my boss that's driving me crazy? You mean whatever it might be, the one that's over me that's making my life miserable, God appointed them for me in my life? That's exactly what the Bible says, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. But why would God do that? I thought God loved me. It's because God loves you. Because God sees an area in your life underneath that rock on his way to that diamond that he's got to get a chisel and go, tink. And every time he does, oh, ow, I can't believe they cut my arm. Ow, well, you know, I was trying to do better. They cut my salary. Ow. And they're chinking on us. And we go, what's going on? Guys, it's part of God's plan. Now, let me tell you, there's two things that will happen. If you don't understand that, you become bitter and hard. If you understand it, you become gentle and submissive and say, Lord, have your way. Whatever you want to do, I trust you. And I'll tell you, the second way is much sweeter and much better. Knowing that God is in control. He's the one running the show, not the mean boss. God's the one doing it, not the mean mom and dad. Not the mean husband, whatever it might be. Not the mean policeman. How dare he pull me over for breaking the speed limit? What does he think this is, the law? There's no authority except from God. Notice this, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Guys, think of all your authorities. They've been appointed by God. You know what that means? Now, God is not Republican or Democrat. But guys, all of our elected officials, guess who appointed them? God did. You mean even wicked when God appointed? That's what the Bible says. Do I understand that? No, I don't have to. I don't believe the Bible. I know that God has his purposes and his reasons. I believe that oftentimes the reason we see wicked men appointed is because there's a wicked nation under them that's what they deserve. And that's what they've wanted. And that's a consequence and oftentimes a judgment. I think when you see a nation with a godly leader or godly leaders, it's also God coming in now and giving blessing. But guys, the bottom line is the Bible says right here, God appoints all of them. Now, I don't understand that completely in every aspect, but I don't have to. What God asked me to do is believe his word. But what it does is it frees me up. I'm free in my heart. I'm free in my life because I know that God's in control. And no matter who's there, God did it. Now, therefore, notice this. Now that's in place. Now we have that understanding that every authority in our life is appointed by the Lord. That has to be in stone before we can ever move on. Now, verse 2, listen what he says. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Wow. Now, let me give balance to this. Does that mean if our authorities tell us to do something that's sinful or ungodly, we're to do it? Absolutely not. The Bible says that we are to be submissive to our authorities up to what point? Up to the point that they ask us to go against our highest authority, and that is God. An example would be a government injunction that says every third child you have to legally abort. At that point, we'd say, I'm sorry, we cannot do that, even if it means imprisonment, because the Bible says that's murder. So, and you're not being disobedient. You're being obedient to the word of God. So that's how those work. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar said, you will bow down to this false God. And they said, no, we won't. But they were very honoring to him. They didn't yell at him. They didn't call him a pagan. They didn't scream at the guy. They just said, you know what? Whether God delivers us or not and saves us from the judgment you're going to bring on us, that's up to God. But we're going to obey the God, obey the Lord. We can't bow down to this idol. Were they disobedient? No, they weren't. They were being obedient because they went to a higher authority. So whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist, notice this, will bring judgment on themselves. Guys, a lot of the judgment, a lot of the harsh and hard times we have with our authorities, we've done to ourselves. Why? Because we're rebelling against them. If we would just submit and allow God to have his way and to chink away, whether it feels good or doesn't feel good, whether they're nice or mean, trusting the Lord, knowing that he put them there, we just, Lord, you have your way. That's going to be the difference, guys, as to whether or not we bring judgment on ourselves or not. I'll give you one quick way to resist authority and get judgment. Just drive way over the speed limit. You're resisting authority, you will get judgment. It's in the form of blue lights and a ticket. That's a very base example of it, but that's exactly what the scripture is talking about. And listen to what it says. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what's good and you'll have praise from the same. Hey, I can remember the days BC, before Christ, when I wasn't living for Christ. Man, when I saw a policeman, I got sweaty and I gripped the steering wheel very tightly. And especially if they pulled up behind me. Now I got really nervous. Just don't breathe. Just don't let me breathe. Here I am acting normal like a stiff. You know, looks like a mannequin probably driving the thing. Panicked. You know what happens when police drive behind me now? I relax. And if I am breaking the speed limit, which I have before, I realize, well, Lord, if they pull me over, that's what I get. I resisted authority, and now I'll face the judgment. And so it even gives me a good attitude. As the officer walks up there, you can have two attitudes. You get the real criminals, you know, right? Well, you are a real criminal. You're breaking the speed limit. Well, or you can just say, you know what? This is God's authority protecting my life. How do I know that I wouldn't have died a mile down the road and God had him pull me over? How do I know that I wouldn't have killed somebody else? You can either leave that with that ticket, bitter and angry, or leave there with that ticket humbled and saying, Lord, I've learned my lesson. And guys, I tell you what, a bitter heart is a lot harder to turn around than a gentle and soft one. It comes with understanding. Understanding who the authorities are, why they're there. If you got pulled over, God ordained it. And I see it as, okay, Lord, spank on the wrist. Not as, I don't believe it. Where did that cop come from? You know, you got two ways to look at it. So you submit, you yield to it. It's a sweetness when you understand that. Pain is not sweet, but understanding it is. He says, do you want to be unafraid of it? Then do what's good and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. Do you think of your authorities as ministers? I think your minister is the guy that, you know, wears blue jeans and a t-shirt and teaches on Sunday. That's what a minister is, right? Well, at least here anyway. But no, your authorities are ministers. But if you do evil, be afraid. It's good to be. And he said, God ordained us to be afraid when we're doing wrong. Why? For he doesn't bear the sword in vain. He's God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So again, God using those authorities. Now, here's where the test comes in. Here's where the test comes in. If we understand these authorities are appointed, be it parents, youth pastors, husbands, bosses, coaches, police, judges, you name it. But what if this young college whippersnapper, fresh out of Harvard, comes in and they give him the new position, and I've been doing this job for 20 years. I'm more qualified. I know it better. And this little upstart, they give him the job. Man, there's two ways to handle that, guys. I've heard people come to me. I had somebody recently come to me and say, you know what? I was the one that should have been promoted, and this new person, much younger than I am, much less experienced, got the job. Who chose to do that? God did. Now, there's two ways to handle that. Either get bitter and angry at the fact that, God, how could you let this? Or say, God, you did this for a reason. And I don't know what it is, but I trust you. And the Bible says, submit yourself under the hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. What it means is this. Hey, the lowly position is not bad. As a matter of fact, it's a lot easier to be close to God and worship him and follow him in the lowly position than the highly position, because pride comes in. So we submit ourselves and we wait. And we say, Lord, have your way. What is it you want to do? Do it, Lord. And when God's done and we've come through the test with flying colors, God will raise you up in due time. The Bible says he'll exalt you when the time is to be exalted, in the sense of giving you the better job, giving you the better, whatever it might be. God's the one in control of it. But guys, I'm telling you, the way we deal with this authority, you see how pivotal this is in our lives? Every aspect of your life has to do with this. And if we don't grasp it and understand it, we can either be miserable people feeling we've been mistreated and abandoned by God, or we can be very humble people learning and growing and saying, Lord, I'm waiting on you and I trust you. How much better our sleep will be with a gentle heart than with a bitter one wanting to, you know, get mad at our boss or the guy that got our job. What if God was to call me to another church? I don't think he will. I believe that once God calls you somewhere, he's got you there. But he's the Lord. But let's say he did, and say I've been a pastor now for 9 years. Okay, let's say that I go to this other church and there's the pastor there. He's brand new. 19. Greg Laurie. I don't know if you know Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie went out at 19. So let's say it would be like Greg Laurie and I go there and I'm Greg's janitor. He's a 19-year-old pastor. And I'm thinking, I'm way more qualified. I know much more about ministry. Why would you do this, Lord? Guys, who did that? God did it. Now notice how it will affect my attitude. I either get bitter and angry or I get humble and wait on the Lord. Understanding that it's not a man who chose to do that. God chose to do it. It makes a difference in all the world just having an understanding of this and realizing it. Now we see authorities, how God works. Now what I want you to see is how God blesses when we submit to our authorities. Because I believe the way we react to our authorities will either be curses in our life or blessings in our life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. That's further back to your left. And then after this, we're going to get back to Ephesians. Don't worry. And we'll finish up tonight there. But let's go to Luke chapter 7. The story, a centurion, a man under authority, Caesar's servant. He has a servant who's sick at home. He hears that Jesus is in town and he believes in him. He knows that he has power. He knows that he has the ability. And watch what happens in this man who understands authority. It says, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, that is Jesus, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was worthy, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Look at the humility of this man. By the way, centurions were the upper rank in the military. So this would be like a high-ranking officer in the military of a nation, if you will. He says, I'm not even worthy you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. Amazing. Guys, first of all, notice that he understood that even without Jesus coming, Jesus had the authority to simply speak a word and his servant would be healed. This man understood authority and he understood Jesus Christ. Notice this, verse 8. For I, and here's another good one to underline, I also. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. Notice his understanding of authority. He knew that Jesus was a man under authority. Guys, when Jesus was on the earth, he was under authority. Who was his authority? The Father. And he says, I also am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. What he's saying is this, I understand what it means to be under authority, and I understand what it means to be in authority. Just like you, Jesus, understand what it means to be under authority, and you, Jesus, understand what it means to be in authority. The bottom line principle is this, and we need to grasp this. And guys, that is that if we're going to be in authority, we have to first be under authority. Everyone that is in authority, that is a good authority, is always under authority. Bad authorities typically are those that are not under. Now, you can have both, but you've got to be under authority. For us, we're under Christ. and under our boss. And for example, the centurion, he was under Caesar. But he said, I understand what it's like. I've been delegated a certain amount of authority because of my position. You too, Jesus, have been delegated a certain amount of authority because of your position under the Father. And I know what your authority is. And that's why I'm seeking you, because you have the power to do what I'm asking. This man had a great grasp. Again, I think the military does give people a great grasp of authority. It's a tremendous benefit there. He says, I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Guys, there's only two times in Scripture the Bible says Jesus marveled. It took a lot to marvel God. It takes a lot to marvel God today. But I find it interesting that the only two things in Scripture that marveled God while he walked on this earth was, number one, the fact that when he was in his hometown, his people didn't believe in him because they saw him growing up. And number two, that this man understood authority. Guys, I think that demonstrates how important understanding authority is in our lives. And I believe for those of you in this room that truly understand authority and operate in that understanding of authority, I think that God could marvel at you as well if you had this level of understanding. He says he marveled. And again, you got to remember, why did he marvel? This man was not even a Jew. He'd not had the training of the Scriptures. He was a Gentile and had this understanding of authority. God would expect someone who had the training of the Scriptures to understand. But a Gentile that didn't have the training of the Scriptures to truly understand real authority, it says Jesus marveled. And he turned around and said to the crowd, he looked at the crowd that's following him, he says this, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In other words, not even among the true believers that know God's word are supposed to have I found this kind of faith. Now note this next principle about authority. Jesus links the understanding of authority to what? Great faith. Now why do I say that? Well, because I think it takes great faith to believe that a harsh boss is from the Lord. And I think it might take great faith for some of you wives to submit to your husband when he's making terrible mistakes in family decisions and he's not that great of a leader. It takes great faith to believe that God would intervene, that God would stop his foolish decisions and change them into something good. That takes great faith. You know what takes no faith? To say, whoa, buddy, back up. I'll take the reins from this point. We will not do that. No. It takes great faith to say, Lord, he's blowing it bad. But you said he's my authority. And God, I'm doing this not for him. I'm doing this for you. So therefore, I'm going to do that. Hey, that takes great faith. Again, with the boss at work, it takes great faith. With the authorities that make foolish decisions, whatever they might be, it takes great faith. So we see a linking to authority and great faith here. It says, and those who were sent returned to the house and found the servant well who had been sick. Finally, guys, look at the result of coming under that authority, submitting to it, trusting in that authority and understanding authority. He was blessed. His servant was healed and he got his request from God. I believe there's a link there. I believe that if we understand authority and properly operate in those authority structures, there's great blessing from the Lord in the midst of it. Guys, and I've experienced it in my life. I truly have. I was taught the principle of authority early on. And I've been able to see that those that are in my life. Now, it's easier for me, I think, than maybe some of you for this simple reason. I'm the baby of the family. I think for babies, that I don't. I think, you know, when you have to submit your whole life, it's easier to. You don't submit, you get punched. It's really an easy option. You know, you'll do what I say or bam-o, you know. And so you learn to, okay, and you do it. So it's easier, but whatever, and I'm not going to get into this whole family thing as to when you're born, but the bottom line is the easier you are to understand that those over you God has put there and that you will just allow God to work and you will have great faith to trust that God will even use those that aren't that great that are over you, I believe you're going to see the blessings of God begin to flow in your life like never before. You know, I was told when we got married, they said, you know what? You need to ask your parents to bless your wedding. Just ask them for their blessing. Believers or non-believers, ask them to bless your wedding. And God will bless you for that. You start honoring your parents, start submitting to that position God has put you in. Watch what happens. Guys, we start doing what we were instructed to do when it came to authorities. God started pouring out blessings on us like I never would have dreamed happened. We had people giving us money that we still today have never met. And I believe it was a direct result. And I'm not going to say if you submit to your authorities, that God's going to give you a bunch of money. You know, nobody's going to, okay, here's the plan, honey. We'll be rich. Whatever you say, we'll do. Whatever you say, we'll do. You know, it's just kind of, no, that's just one of the ways God blessed us in that. And so we see this guy getting the blessing. So now what have we seen? God places all authorities. How many authorities? All authorities. If we come under those authorities, harsh or good, what happens to us? Blessing or cursing? blessing. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at employees and employers. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Servants, we would change that today to employees. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. For basically, employees, be obedient to your bosses. It says, as to the flesh, that is in this world. Your boss is in this world. Now, obedient here speaks of one. The word means one who on the knock of a door comes to listen as to who it is and is ready to serve. It's like a porter, a doorman, if you will. It's like somebody that's, here's the picture that word means when it says, be obedient to your bosses. It shows a picture of a person standing there waiting for whatever their command might be so that they can eagerly take care of it. Now, let me tell you why this goes against the American mindset. Because we, in our pride in America, have decided that nobody's going to tell us what to do. We're our own man or we're our own woman. We run our own show. And somehow we think that it means that we're weaker if we do that. No, the Bible says you're stronger because you're more godly. It's like, here I am. What do you want me to do? How could you get that? Love to. Who are you? You know, I mean, that's such a strange attitude today. That's the picture of that word when it says be obedient to your bosses there. Next, notice how it says to serve them with fear and trembling. If you follow Paul's use of fear and trembling throughout his letters, it's basically Paul's way of saying respect and honor. Respect them and honor them. That's all he's asking. Respect them. Well, what if they're mean or they're unsaved? We talked about that. It makes no difference. Listen to what Peter said. 1 Peter 2:18 says this. Servants, or we'd say employees, be submissive to your bosses with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. That's hard to do. And I want to say this, it only happens by God's Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen by self-determination. It's not going to happen because you've made up your mind. You're going to have to go to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to do this as unto you. And when you see your boss, you need to see who's behind it, Jesus Christ. Jesus has put him there and directing him there in that position, him or her, whoever it might be. And the thing that we've got to keep in mind, and we'll get to it in just a minute, is our boss also one day has to stand before Jesus Christ and answer. Here's the scene. Come with me to heaven. There you are. There stand you, there stands your boss. Both of you are going to have to give account. Now, as a believer, I don't want to scare you. You don't give account for sins. But the bottom line is your boss is going to stand before Jesus Christ just as you are. And all Jesus is going to want to know is, how did you serve your boss? According to my word or according to your emotions and feelings? Yeah, but Lord, you did this. Well, yeah, but what did my Bible say? Whether they're harsh or not, what does the word say? Now, again, I'm role playing. I'm not saying this, you know, the Bible didn't say that's the scene in heaven. I'm kind of, you know, doing the Mark version here. But guys, also the boss is going to have to give answer. Why did you treat your employee that way? Why did you, listen, I'd rather have the Lord pleased with me on that day and let my boss deal with the Lord than to me try to get it even now. We'll let God handle them. That's an easy enough thing. Now, how is it possible to respect them? What if they're not respect worthy? He says, respect and honor your boss. What if they're just not respect worthy? Let's say they're just, you know, you got this guy, he's a womanizer, he's stealing from the company, I mean, there's all these things. You can't respect a person like that. Then what do? You respect the position. What God asks us to do is you look at that position of boss, employer, placed by God, wicked or good, they're there, and it's the position that we respect, not the person. I've had times where there's been certain officials in certain positions where I cannot respect the person because they're so wicked and vile. But I respect the position because God says he put them there. And so I honor that position. I respect that position. I submit to that position. But I make a very clear distinction between the person and that position. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't love them and shouldn't pray for them. But that's how you handle that. But notice this, how he says to deal with them. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. You know, just meaning it, being real with them, sincerity of heart. It means this, doing it with real and true heart and not in hypocrisy. Just serving because you know that God's put you there and put them there and you just want to do it. Sincerity of heart, notice this, as to Christ. There's the key to every single one of these issues we've been covering over the last few weeks. Wives, husbands, kids, now workplace. Who is it for, guys? It's for the Lord. If you ever get down to where you're going to do this for my boss, well, a lot of you aren't going to do it because your boss isn't worthy of it. Well, I'm going to do this for my husband. Well, you're not going to do it because your husband's not worthy. I'm going to do this for my wife. Well, your wife's not. My point is, do it for Christ, because that way, no matter what your husband, wife, child, boss, employee does, you're working on the same level of intensity and honor and respect for Jesus Christ and those he's put in that position. That's the bottom line. And that's what the Lord's trying to bring out in this point. It's the same principle. Notice what he says in verse 6. He goes on to explain how we do this. Not with eye service. Literally, what eye service means is doing a good job when the boss is around. You know, he shows up, everybody jumps out of their seats, start looking busy, grab stuff, do something. Oh, he's here, like, whatever. And as soon as he leaves, okay, good. Well, I'll get the cards back out, grab me a Coke. Anybody need a hot dog? You know what? Let's throw something on the stove here. That's what it means. Don't serve only when they're there with eye service. Serve with a pure heart, a sincere heart. Notice, not with eye service or as men pleasers. Literally what it means is because you're afraid of them. You don't serve them because you're afraid of them. Maybe you are afraid of your boss. I don't know. But that shouldn't be the reason you serve them in the sense of a fear that they might be mean. You serve them again because you fear God and because God's put them in that position. So not as men pleasers. Notice this, but again, he keeps bringing this point up, but you serve them how? As servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Guys, pretend Jesus is your boss. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, Jesus would be a lot nicer. Look at it this way. Jesus is the CEO behind the door you never get to talk to, but that's the manager he's put over you. You're working for him. You're not working for your boss. You're not working for this company. You're working for Jesus Christ. And the reason is, two reasons, that God can mold and shape you into what he wants you to be. And also, guys, that we might be a witness for Jesus Christ. That people might see our lives and go, why in the world do you do this? Why do you act this way when you should be like really upset and disgusted at how they treat us here? Where do you come up with this good attitude? No, because it's for the Lord. And notice doing the will of the Lord, because it's God's will that we serve this way as if we're serving to Christ. And then lastly, from the heart. It's not something we just do. We mean it deep down inside. I heard a story about a little boy where his daddy was telling him, you know, sit down. He wouldn't sit down. He said, sit down, son. And he wouldn't sit down. He said, I'm going to spank your bottom if you don't sit down. He sat down, but he had this scowl on his face. And he said, there, that's better. He said, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. That's what he's saying not to be like. It's like, I'll do it because I have to, because they make me wear this dumb hat. I read a story a while back about a man at a company that wore this hat all the time that nobody else wore. It was like this goofy looking yellow kind of neon hat they supposed to wear every time they were at work or something. I forget. It was a hat that stuck out. I forget the details about it or where I read it. But it says that he wore his hat simply because his boss asked him to. And though everyone else, when the boss was gone, threw their hats off, woohoo, glad to wear those hats, they made fun of him because he walked around with his hat on. But when somebody said, you know what, why are you wearing that hat? Because Jesus Christ wants me to wear this hat. Because he's given me my boss, and my boss asked me to do it. See, I work for him, not for this guy here. He had an understanding of authority, and he did what his boss asked him, whether his boss saw him or whether his boss didn't see him. Guys, that's the difference in somebody who's serving Christ and somebody who's serving man. And it's the difference in a good heart and a bad heart. So, he says, do it from the heart. Notice verse 7, with goodwill. That means a good attitude. You know, do you go to work, I hate this place. Can't wait till it's 5. You know, what time is it? Or do you go in there going, you know what? God's given me a job. This is great. What can I do? How can I help? How do I serve? A good attitude. That's what he's saying. Have a good attitude when you go. And notice this, doing service. Why do I stress that? Because, guys, if you get paid for 8 hours, how many hours should you work? 8. Not 7.5. Well, everybody else does it. You know, everybody else takes 1.5 hours lunch. And the 15-minute breaks, everybody else takes 25 minutes. Why shouldn't I? Because you're doing it for Christ. They're doing it for man. They're doing it for self. But your master is Christ, and you want to give him perfection. You want to give him your best. You want to give him your heart. You want to please him. You're not out to please the company. You're out to please the Lord. So you give 8 hours of work. That you're hired for 8 hours, you give 8 hours. Doing service as to who again? Boy, I think he's made the point clear, but he hits it again. As to the Lord and not to men. Man's not the issue. This is all about Jesus. Notice in verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Hey, whether you're the boss or whether you're the employee, God's going to reward you for your faithfulness in that position. If you're a faithful employee, God has a reward for you. If you're a faithful boss, God has a reward for you. Don't worry, your reward's coming. You may not get it down here, but you're going to get it in the kingdom. And besides, this one down here is temporary. So what, you get the gold watch. You're going to die and leave it to your kids? Well, they didn't earn it, you know? Yeah, you get gold in heaven. It doesn't fade away, guys. You get to keep that stuff. And I don't know that it'll be gold. I mean, they use it for pavement up there, but you get my point. So, slave or free, and he says, and you, now, that whole first portion there, the first three verses, speaking specifically to employees, now he switches gears to make sure that the employers, the masters, have their things in order. He says, and you masters, we'd say employers, do the same things to them. In other words, you know all the things that I've asked the employees to do for you? That's how you need to be treating them. Here's the question now. Even if your boss doesn't do that, what do you do? you still do your part unto Christ. Even if your husband doesn't do what he's supposed to, what do you do, ladies? You still do your part as unto Christ. Even if your wives don't do what they're supposed to do, husbands, what do? We still do our part as unto Christ. Children, even if our parents do what they're supposed to do as unto the Lord, what do as children? We do it as unto the Lord. And that's what he's saying. Here, you need to treat the employers the same way that you are supposed to treat them. I mean, vice versa. You treat each other the same way. I think about Ruth and Boaz, the story of Ruth and Boaz. Think about Boaz. How would you like to work for a guy like this that says he showed up to his field and he gets out of his truck? You know, I wasn't a truck. You know what I'm saying? He gets, pulls up at the workplace, hops out, you know, his two-door camel, and hops down on the ground and says, God bless you guys. And they say, well, God bless you. Stop it. I said it first. I mean, it's that kind of attitude. It's like he gets out. How would you like if your boss showed up at work and said, God bless you guys. You guys having a good, who wants hot chocolate? Get a hot chocolate. That's the kind of boss Boaz was. That's just what he was like. That'd be awesome, but guys, it's not always that way. But Jesus wants to know our response in both situations. That'd be good to have a Boaz as a boss, but oftentimes we don't. Notice this, he says the same things to them, giving up threatening. In other words, don't try to get them to do their work by telling them they're going to, you know, get less money or lose their job. Or just, you know, tell them what they need to do. And if they don't do it, well, you may have to deal with that, let them go or whatever. But the point is, don't threaten. Just love them. Why? Knowing that your own master, you see, the understanding of authority is everybody has authority over them. He says, you bosses may not realize it, but you have an authority over you. He's Jesus Christ, and you're going to answer to him one day. He says, so knowing that your own master also is in heaven. Notice also that both masters are in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. No partiality with God. Interesting. It doesn't matter who they are. God shows no partiality. Don't you think in your mind that really probably God really does show Billy Graham partiality? I mean, if you're maybe you've never thought that way, but you probably think there's got to be certain people that really are in better with God. There has to be. I mean, certainly if you got the pastor to pray. Now, in my case, you probably don't think that. But I used to think that from the other side. Certainly, you know, there's got to be some people you could go to that if they prayed, there'd be a little more clout. Guys, God shows no partiality. Now, he honors the position and certain things like the elders laying hands on with oil. God honors that because you're doing it the biblical way. But it's not because the elders are special. It's because of the position they're in. So God has no partiality. It's interesting, just to kind of wrap it up, there's no partiality with God, but I do believe there are different intimacy levels with God. Tracy and I were talking last night. She reminded me of something Corrie Ten Boom said once, and it works perfect right here. She said this. She says, God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. I want to be an intimate. Don't you? That's my desire. I want to be an intimate. I know I can't have more partiality, and I think sometimes maybe we desire those things, but guys, we can have greater intimacy. And how do we do that? By loving him, by obeying him, by seeking his face in the word and in prayer. And so as we wrap it up, I would just say this. Remember, in any situation you're in, when it comes to authority or position or whatever you're doing, take the faces off the people you're having troubles with and trust the Lord. Realize that God's in control and that he's running the show. And let's just submit to the Lord and let him do in our life what he wants to do so that he can be blessed. And now let's seek to be intimates.